Morning and welcome to worship this morning. Just a few announcements before we get underway. The usual groups are on this week. The Guild is next week, a week on Monday, isn't it? Yes, 10th of November. But mainly music and Planet Earth, Rainforest, they're all on as normal this week, and the cafe today after worship and on Wednesday. We had 87 boxes sent to the Blytheswood Shoebox Appeal. That included some from Salvation Army as well, but I thought that was an excellent total for us. So thanks for everybody that helped with that. Thank you. And just to say that, I don't really like to say, but we're now getting into the festive season. It's coming that fast, I can't believe it. Anyway, so tickets are on sale now for our the Christmas light switch on, which is on the 16th, a week on Sunday, isn't it? A week? And the Santa's Grotto and all the events that take place on that Sunday. So tickets are on sale now for that. And then the Guild Fair will be coming up after that, so tickets will be getting prepared for that as well. And a warm welcome to David, who has stepped in to lead worship for us this morning, as Robert was a bit poorly. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I hope Robert's not too seriously ill and is soon back amongst you. Let us worship God. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let us sing our opening hymn, number 182. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices. Be seated. Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that we can be still before you and rest in your presence. Sometimes we can feel caught up in storms and troubles, Lord. And today we would thank you that you are the God of peace. You can calm the turmoil within us. You can restore us and refresh us and guide us out of stormy waters into a quiet haven. You made us to know you, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. We long for a new wholeness in our lives, a wholeness and love and peace in our relationships with those around us. We're conscious how easily anger and bitterness and darkness can come into our relationships with those around us, and we know that is not your way. We ask your forgiveness for ways we have fallen short. We pray that we might know your help and strength, that in the knowledge of your love and acceptance and your great work of reconciliation on our behalf, we might go out to build bridges of understanding and concern to those we feel at odds with. So may we come to know a deeper peace and joy in our life. Our lives are in your hands. Help us to acknowledge that and live in the knowledge of that. You brought us forth out of our mother's wombs, and in the end we return to you. Help us not to ignore you and deny you in this in-between time, but to entrust ourselves to your care, that you might bring to us all that you promise us in your word, and that we might know a new fulfillment in our daily lives. For we ask this even as we pray and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, girls, how good are you at sums? Not very good at all. Well, I'll start with an easy one. See if you can get the answer to this one. If I was to give you nine Smarties, and I gave three to you and two to you, how many would I have left? What's that? If I gave three to you and two to you, and I had nine, four. That's right. You'd have four left. Should we try something a bit more hard? If I had 22 Smarties, and I gave five to you, and three to you, how many would I have left?
14.
Well done, that was very quick. 14. Great. Well, I've got a sheet here with God's love marked on it. How many corners has God's love got?
Four.
One, two, three, four. Right. Now, I'm going to share with you something about God's arithmetic. I'm going to cut one of these corners off. Right. And I'm going to give that to you. How many corners of God's love have you got? You've got three. Well, good. So I started off with four, and I gave you three. How many have I got now of God's love?
Three.
You sure?
Yeah.
No, I've given one.
Five.
That's five. That's right. I started off with four corners of God's love, and I gave you three, and now I've not got just three now. I've got one, two, three, four, five. Should we try that again?
Yeah!
Right. I'll give you that one, shall I? There. How many corners of God's love have you got?
Three.
And you've got three, so you've got six. And how many have I got now? 6, that's right. Now that's the amazing thing about God's love. The more we give it away, the more it grows and grows. I wouldn't say that you shouldn't do that on your sums in school like that, but that God's love is bigger than that. The more we give it away, the more it grows. So I started off with 4 corners of God's love, and now I've got 6. And that's true in our own lives. If we share God's love with people, if we give God's love to people, it grows and grows and grows, and the world becomes a better place. And that's something we all need to learn all the time. God's love is not something for keeping to ourselves. It's for sharing with others. And that's the way it grows and grows, and the world becomes a happier place. We're going to sing now a song about God's Jesus' love for us. Jesus loves me, this I know. An old hymn that goes back a long, long way that speaks just the simple truths of Jesus' love for each one of us. Number 564, if you've got a hymn book. Have a nice time together. Bye. We come now to our Bible readings, which are given to us today by Jim. Hearing first from Psalm 32.
First reading this morning is from Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous, sing, all who are upright in heart. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 1 to verse 6. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on them, set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Amen, and may God bless you as the reading of these words.
Thank you, Jim. We sing now from hymn books number 461, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear. It soothes our sorrows, heals our wounds, and drives away our fear. Sometimes events can destroy the peace and contentment in our lives. We are upset at the way things have turned out. Life can be complicated at times. We put our foot in it, quite unintentionally from our point of view, but it has had a negative effect on our relationship with someone, perhaps someone close to us, whom we care deeply for. How do we deal with that? Often the temptation can be to try and justify ourselves, to turn in upon ourselves and nurse our wounds. We're all churned up inside, and contentment and peace have departed from us. We're fortunate to meet in the Psalms a very human individual, David, the shepherd lad who became a king, a courageous man, a gifted man, but a man who was just as flawed as any of us. He was a man with a great faith and trust in God, but at times he fell well short of being the person God would have wished him to be. The Psalms don't try and whitewash David and give us a false picture of him. They display him warts and all and allow us to see how he dealt with his fears and dealt with his times of trial and how he faced up to his sins and his failures and worked through them until he found restoration and wholeness in his life again. At times when events take a turn for the worse and we're ashamed of things we've done or said, we can be tempted to keep our distance from God, feeling a sense of guilt and ashamed to come too close to him. David tells us this is the worst thing we can do. Rather, we need to keep a short account with God and come to him in our brokenness and sense of failure. He tells us in verse 4 of Psalm 32, "When I did not confess my sins, I was worn out from crying all day long. Day and night you punished me, Lord. My strength was completely drained, and moisture as moisture is dried up in the summer heat." On the contrary, David starts the psalm with an exultant shout of thanksgiving. "Happy are those whose sins are forgiven, whose wrongs are pardoned." Are we okay? Okay. "Happy are those whose sins are forgiven, whose wrongs are pardoned. Happy is the one whom the Lord does not accuse of doing wrong and who is free from deceit." Most translations of the Bible don't have the word happy, but the word blessed, which I think more accurately captures the deep spiritual contentment that can come from being reconciled to our Creator. The blessedness has nothing to do with surface happiness or with earthly wealth, comfort or status, but everything to do with a restored relationship with God. David teaches us that true joy is not found in external circumstances, but in the forgiveness of sin that speaks of a restoration of God's favor. God is not waiting to catch us out and condemn us, but rather heal the brokenness within us and restore us. This message is echoed in the New Testament, where the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, quotes this very psalm to demonstrate that salvation is not earned by human effort, but is a free gift of God. As Paul explains in Romans 4, verse 7, blessed are those whose wrongs are forgiven, whose sins are pardoned. Blessed is the person whose sins the Lord will not keep account of. He shows us that the righteousness of God is credited to us, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us. When we come to him and with regret confess openly our failings, he will cover our sins and we will find forgiveness and new life. We will experience peace with God and find in Christ the strength to move on, to live life in a better way. He may then be able to help us to a healing of fractured relationships. Our risen Savior stands with us and is but a prayer away. Jesus saved his people by dying on the cross, by taking the punishment we deserved. But that was only the first stage of the victory he won on our behalf. He went on to rise from the dead, ascend into heaven, and he is now interceding for us at the right hand of God. Thanks be to God. There's a beautiful symmetry about Psalm 32, as there is with so many of the Psalms. It is framed at both ends with a call to rejoicing. Then, when you take a step towards the center of the Psalm, David talks about what happens when you don't confess your sins. In verse 3 and 4, he talks from personal experience about how he was worn out from crying all day long. He felt drained of energy and dispirited. And then towards the end of the psalm, in verses 9 and 10, he offers advice to others who might find themselves in a similar position. He says, don't be stupid like a horse or a mule, which must be controlled with a bit or a bridle to make it submit. The wicked will have to suffer, but those who trust in the Lord are protected by his constant love. Then as you take a further step into the center of the psalm, David tells us what happened when he came to his senses. Verse 5, then I confessed my sins to you, Lord. I did not conceal my wrongdoings. I decided to confess them to you, and you forgave all my sins. He found refreshment and release and a new beginning. And so he went on to declare to God, so all your loyal people should pray to you in times of need. When a great flood of trouble comes rushing in, it will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will save me from trouble. I sing aloud of your salvation because you protect me. Then David turns to us and declares, the Lord says, I will teach you the way you should go. I will instruct you and advise you. When troubles come upon us, that is a time above all when we should turn to the Lord. As we pray to him in our time of need, he can make clear to us the way we should go. He can save us from our troubles. He can be our hiding place. David's words remind us that living with unconfessed sin is like carrying a heavy weight that causes constant pain. It affects our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. The more we keep our sin hidden, the more it festers, leading to spiritual and emotional turmoil, and too often makes us withdraw even further from the Lord, the one who can set us free. But when we come to God and receive his forgiveness, he cancels the penalty and lifts the burden that sin brings. We are met with a mercy that is far greater than we can imagine, and far greater than we think we deserve. God's grace poured out upon us. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. And this brings out David's exuberant response at the end of the psalm. You that are righteous, be glad and rejoice because of what the Lord has done. You that obey him, shout for joy. When we experience the depth of God's mercy and grace, it fills us with an inexpressible joy that we want to share with others. As Christians, we rest under the new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Paul writes of this in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Now that we've been put right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought us by faith into this experience of God's grace in which we now live. And so we boast of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. And after speaking in Romans chapter 7 about the sinfulness of our human nature and our inability to save ourselves, Paul cries out, "Who will rescue me from this body which is taking me to death?" He immediately responds, "Thanks be to God who does this through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he continues in chapter 8, "There is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit, which brings us life in union with Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, because human nature was weak, God did. He condemned sin in human nature by sending his own Son, who came with a nature like man's human like man's sinful nature, to do away with sin. God did this so that the righteous demands of the law might be fully satisfied in him." Who live according to the Spirit and not according to human nature. Those who live as their human nature tells them to have their minds controlled by what human nature wants. To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. Let us hide ourselves in Christ and be filled with his Spirit, so that we might know his forgiveness, full and free, and his peace that passes all understanding. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that as we look to you and draw near to you, we can find a right perspective in our lives. We can find peace in you. We can find strength to deal with any setbacks and disappointments we may face. We can find protection, Lord God, within the embrace of your love. And so we commit our lives afresh into your care. May we seek to honor you by the way we live them. We would pray especially for those who are traumatized and troubled as they view the brokenness of our world, and who struggle to find meaning and purpose in their lives. Speak reassuring words to them, we pray, and help them to know your strengthening hand and calming presence in their lives, and to know the supporting comfort of others. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we turn again to our hymn books, number 553. Just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, and that you call us, come to me, O Lamb of God, I come. Our offerings will now be received. Let us dedicate our offerings. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all your gifts that come so freely into our lives day by day. Accept these gifts that we lay at your table, that they may be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I invite Laura to come out and give us our prayers for others.
Let us pray. Healing Father, we bow our heads in prayer for your broken world as we hear your heartbreak for those living with poverty, war, oppression, sexual and gender-based violence, hunger, and the daily denial of their dignity as your children. May our hearts know your pain, allowing us to recognise you even in the midst of great evil. We pray for those of power and influence. May they know of your pain and work towards easing this. We pray for those who work at the margins of society. May they continue to work as your instruments to guide your lost sheep back to the fold. We pray for those closer at hand, suffering from sickness, bereavement, or loneliness, that they will know you're close at hand, and for those fearing the near end of life, that you would grant them a perfect end. As part of Presbytery's prayer map this month, as well as our own congregation, we pray for the congregations of Stonehouse St Ninian's LEP, Hamilton St John's, Crisford and Kirkfall Bank, and Airdrie-New Monkland, and what the future may hold for them. May our souls find rest in you, God, as our salvation comes from you. In Jesus' name, today, tomorrow, eternally. Amen.
Thank you, Laura. And so we come to our closing hymn of praise, number 566. When I receive the peace of Christ, my loneliness shall end, and I must reach a hand and take my brother as a friend. Hymn 566. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you, both now and forevermore. Amen.